We count it a privilege to be with you, brethren and sisters, here this morning. We want to thank the Lord for the showers of rain that have fallen, and we want to ask the Lord to give us more. Of course, that's just the way we are, aren't we? We're never satisfied. We want more. But God's blessings are pouring upon us, and we certainly want to thank Him for that. Brother Brian has requested that we will read two scriptures, the one found in Psalm 145, verses 1 through 9, and the other one, Romans 11, just one verse, verse 22. Romans 145, 1 to 9, and Romans 11, verse 22. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing thy great righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. Let me read that eighth verse over again, because I think that's one of the greatest promises in the scriptures. And it says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and of great mercy. How wonderful that we can rely on God's goodness and God's compassion and the fact that he is slow to anger. And then Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the glorious and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee, goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Good morning. I too greet you in the name of Jesus. This morning, I'd like us to consider the topic of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. In the verse that Brother Steve read there in Romans 11, it says, behold the goodness of God. And that's what I'd like us to do this morning, to think about, to look upon, to study the goodness of God. If I would ask you to raise your hands, I'm not going to, but if I would, how many believe that God is good? I believe most of you would raise your hand, if not all of you. But what about if I ask you the question that in every circumstance, in every situation of life, that God only gives you good things? Would you raise your hand? Perhaps you would have to think about it a little bit longer. In every circumstance of life, does God only give you good things? What I started thinking about was an event that happened in our life a number of weeks ago, a few months ago now, and you're aware of it. Martha and I had been away for a day. It was a Sunday. We had just come home on Sunday evening when we got a call that Nathan and Elizabeth's daughter, our granddaughter Anne, was being taken to the hospital. She had fallen from a chair, and they had called the ambulance. We didn't think a lot of it at first. We left for the hospital, and then we got a call when we were partway there, saying that yes, it was serious. At times she was unresponsive. So So we worried and we hurried on a little more. Then we got a call a little closer to York, and it said that the ambulance had put Nathan out, that they had to all have seat belts, that she was being rushed to the hospital. And we worried a little more and continued on. Then when we were almost to the hospital, I saw the Spring Grove ambulance going, and Nathan's truck was behind it, and it wasn't blowing the siren. And I thought to myself, she has died on the way. What other reason would an ambulance turn its siren off when she was being rushed to the hospital? And I shared this with Martha. By the time we got to the parking garage in the hospital, we were pretty well upset. We were crying. So I said, let's stay here a little while. And we prayed, and we thought we'd give Nathan time to go into Elizabeth. And after a while we were praying, I was reminded that God is always good. In every situation of life, God is good. And as I was reminded of that, it made the walk from the parking garage to the emergency room a lot easier. I made that walk, yes, in sadness, not knowing what I'd find, but I made it in rest and peace and trust and with a thankful heart. Do you believe that God is good? When we got in, of course, we watched for the nurses for their reaction to try to read something from their face, and we couldn't. We went back to the room, and Ann was fine. She called us by name, and the burden was lifted. But I thought of it since then. Do I really believe that God is good in all circumstances? We'd like to think about that this morning. What is the goodness of God? The goodness of God is His very nature. It's who God is. It's one of His attributes. Not only does God do good things, but He is completely and 100% good. Good means that He's kind and generous and tender. He's gracious, He's cordial, benevolent, merciful, loving. That's who God is. In the Old Testament, the word's often translated loving kindness. In the New Testament, it's often translated kindness. The truth that God is good is clearly taught in Scripture. A few examples. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," it begins. And then, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Psalm 31:19, "How great is thy goodness." Psalm 33, verse 5, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Psalm 52:1, "The goodness of God endureth continually." And the list goes on and on from Genesis to Revelation. The pages are filled with the truth of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is clearly taught in Scripture. But at times we struggle with it. I do, and I assume you do too. At times we ask why. The death of a loved one, sickness or disease, natural disasters, accidents, all these circumstances of life, we're tempted to ask why, and we're tempted to believe that God isn't always good. These are hard questions. Psalm 25, verse 8. I found very helpful. It says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way." Good and upright is the Lord, and therefore will He teach sinners. Because God is good, He gives us things in life that teach us in His way. Because God is good, His actions are good, and the actions are meant to teach us and direct us and draw us nearer to Him. I challenge you, as you struggle to think about God is good, if you struggle with that truth, try defining the goodness of God in that every circumstance of life, God's desire is to teach us and draw us closer to God and perfect our faith. If you struggle with the concept of the goodness of God, define it as that in every circumstance of life is designed by God to teach us and draw us closer to Him and perfect our faith. Isn't that what the hymn writer says in the song, How Firm a Foundation? He says, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame will not hurt you, my only design, thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That's the plan, and that's the goodness of God. When the flames of life flare up around us, it's to draw us closer to Him and our gold to refine. In the goodness of God, He allows events and circumstances into our lives that will draw us closer to Him, and it's for our good. You've heard some Old Testament scriptures regarding the goodness of God, how great He is, that His greatness and goodness fills the earth, that it endures continually, that it never ends, it's an unlimited supply. We know that as we look at God. God's immutable. That means He never changes. His goodness is not better one day than any other day. He's good every day. He's good always. We also know that God is infinite. The amount of goodness that He has is indescribable and unending. It's infinite. Now listen to a few New Testament verses that proclaim the goodness of God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God only blesses us with good things. Matthew 5:45, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God, in a general way, is good and good to all men. Even evil men benefit from the goodness of God. Romans 8:28 is a special promise to believers. And we know that all things work together for God, for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And perhaps the greatest evidence of God's goodness is sending His Son, that we might be reconciled to Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is good. God is good in all situations. Do you believe it? What is your response to the overwhelming, abundance, continual goodness of God? Like much of life, we have choices to make. We have decisions to make. In every circumstance of life, every day, we can respond to God's goodness in two ways. We can accept it and declare God is good and thank Him and worship Him and praise Him for being good. Or we can reject, underestimate, belittle, and deny the goodness of God. I challenge you with that thought. As you experience the goodness of God, the abundant goodness of God, will you ignore Him? Will you deny that God is good? If you do, you commit a very great sin in the eyes of God. You slap God in the face. when you deny that he is good, you deny the truth of his character, and you rob him of the praise and worship and adoration that he deserves. Isn't that what the children of Israel did so many years ago? All the miracles, all the good things they witnessed at God's hands, and yet they denied the goodness of God. They said, "Would that we have died in Egypt." They murmured and they complained. Deuteronomy, the first chapter, says that they even went so far as they claimed that the Lord hated them. Can you imagine? After all they witnessed, to proclaim that God hated them. What a thing to say to a God who is consistently good. And yet, I sometimes do it. Perhaps you do too. In the hard times of life, will you deny the goodness of God? God is not pleased with murmuring and complaining. One of the reasons, one of the problems with the Israelite children is they forgot. They just forgot all the good things that God had done. One of the good things about getting older is that we can look back and see all the good things that God has done for us. Failure to recognize that God is good, to deny it, to reject it, is a terrible sin in the eyes of God. He calls it rebellion. He says it provokes him. He says, "I'll smite them." He says, "I'll disinherit them. I'll overthrow them." Does it sound like a small thing to you to deny the goodness of God? It doesn't to me. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Here in the midst of two chapters where terrible evil is described, the sins of homosexuality, the sins of murder, the sins of hating God, judgment is pronounced. Here in this passage, we see the sins of self-righteousness, and judgment is pronounced. Here in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we find a few verses that deal with the sin of despising the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." What a terrible sin it is to despise and ignore the riches of the goodness of God. He speaks here of people who have known good at God's hands, that God has been abundantly good to, far more than they deserve, and they fail to acknowledge him. God has been good, and they ignore and rebel against him. They experience the goodness of God. And it says in these things that it should drive them to repentance. As you experience all the goodness of God, it should drive us to repentance. But instead, it says these people harden their hearts and experience the judgment of God. You have a choice. I have a choice. Will you despise the riches of God's goodness and sin against God? Or will you proclaim that God is good and experience his blessings? There are riches in God's goodness. Some of the riches that I thought about were the riches of rest and peace. Rest and peace we find when we dwell on the goodness of God. We find trust and we are thankful. These are the riches of the goodness of God. Rest and peace. It's a blessing you can have and you can experience as you declare that God is good. People pay a lot of money today to be counseled that they would find rest and peace. And here it is. You can have it if you declare the goodness of God. When the trials, when the hard events occur, the only way that you can experience rest and peace is to declare that God is good. To know that he only allows good things into our lives. It's your only hope. How else can you make sense of it? Except to know that God is good. That God is good. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him." It's a fact that since God is good, he is a stronghold. And in that stronghold, you can find rest and peace. It can be yours, the riches of rest and peace, as you trust in the goodness of God. Trust. Trust is another one of the riches you can benefit from and experience if you declare that God is good. What the world needs now is someone to trust in. An anchor, a firm foundation that doesn't change. Something that's sure. When the tough times in life come and everything is moving around and is topsy-turvy and spinning out of control, you need someone to trust in. You can trust in the fact that God is good. You can lean upon it. You can build your life on it. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." What a command to taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, "Try me, prove me. I am good. You can trust me. I am the rock of ages, the firm foundation. You can trust me." Thankfulness is the third blessing we experience as we proclaim that God is good. I would tell you it's impossible to keep the command found in 2 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's impossible to keep that command to give thanks in everything if you don't believe that God is good. How else could you do it? How can you keep the command if you don't recognize that God is good and all his actions are good? Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Because God is good, you can give thanks in all the circumstances of life. You can give thanks in all the circumstances of life if you will proclaim and believe that God is good. Perhaps the account that comes to mind when I think of that is an account some of you would be familiar with. It's written by Corrie ten Boom in the book of The Hiding Place. It tells of Corrie's experience and her sister Betsy when they were in the Ravensbrook Nazi concentration camp in Germany during the war. It must have been a terrible, terrible place. They witnessed beatings and hardship and starvation and nakedness. And they decided that the only way they could get through it is that they were going to obey the command in 2 Thessalonians and be thankful in all things. Then they were moved to a new barracks, a new dormitory, and it was infested with fleas. And they said, how can we give thanks yet on top of everything? How can we give thanks for fleas? They purposed in their mind that God was good. They purposed to obey the command to give thanks in all situations of life. And they did. There in that terrible place, they gave thanks for the fleas that tormented them. As it turned out, they were not wrong in doing so, because the fleas, the guards didn't bother the women. They didn't want to come in those flea-infested barracks. They wouldn't even set a foot in the barracks. The fleas, you see, protected the women from abuse and harassment. It gave them time to study and to worship together. In that terrible place, they believed God was good. And it enabled them to give thanks to God for everything. God is good. Sometimes you have to look for it. Sometimes you have to look for it. You have to purpose in your mind that God is good. And so you see, rest and peace and trust and thankfulness can be yours in the hard times of life if you recognize and proclaim that God is good. What will you do with the truth that God is good? The next time a hard time enters your life, what will you do? Will you reject the truth that God is good, deny it, and sin against the one true and living God? Or will you embrace the truth, proclaim it, say to yourself, God is good and only gives us good things, and be blessed with peace and rest and trust and a thankful heart? You can make the decision. You know, that evening in that parking garage at York Hospital, I did a lot of things wrong. I assumed things for the worst instead of the best. I had a negative attitude. I made conclusions with facts that weren't true. I let fear take over. I got Martha all upset. But by the grace of God, I did one thing right. Out of all the things I did wrong, I did one thing right. I was able to declare that God is good. I made the right choice, and I was able to walk from that parking garage to the emergency room and experience rest and peace and trust and had a thankful heart. Won't you declare that God is good?
As Brother Brian was sharing, I had to think about some experiences in my life where God showed his goodness. In February of 2012, I went to the ER, and I was having heart palpitations. And as I was being rolled from the triage area back into the ER proper, I remember telling the person who was pushing me that I'm going to pass out. And I did. And I remember coming to with responders working on me, just enough to say a few words to my wife and then rolling into the cath lab. And the words that come to my mind, what I remember out of that experience was, this phrase came to me, Jesus, I trust you completely with my life and my salvation. And I had another opportunity to see the goodness of God as the doctors gave a prognosis that was not very, did not look very good for the future. And that was shared with the family, and the family took that with graciously and with good poise. There was no questioning, at least out loud, of the goodness of God. And God was able to keep us in peace, and I was healed. But God didn't promise me that the rest of my life, or even at that year, would go easy. Later that year, I had kidney stones. And then after that, I had appendicitis. And after those three experiences, I thought it would be wonderful to enjoy time in the Rocky Mountains. And I got high altitude sickness. It's where my lungs coated over with mucus. And I remember a brother here, he's here this morning from church, he said, about the only time I see you is when you're in the hospital. And so then it was, but by the goodness of God, a year later, I took the family to the spot in the Rocky Mountains where I awoke at night struggling for breath. And we hiked around that area. That was at about a 10,000 feet elevation. And we went up to 12,000 feet elevation, and I filled my lungs with fresh mountain air because God was good. Let's stand together and pray.